Greetings again in the precious name of Christ. Blessing to be gathered together on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. For a message this morning, like I mentioned last night, I want to talk about the home, various aspects of the home. It's a subject that is dear to my heart. Subject I think about a lot, and the importance of godly homes in this dark world. Are we doing our part? And probably why it strikes me so is because of the stage of my family. I don't have young children. I have two teenagers in the home. And the seriousness of being a godly example, the struggle that it is sometimes. As I think of the two young men in my charge, I tremble sometimes. And so it's a subject I think about a lot. And I watch children. I watch families. I watch young families. And blessed to see families that are serving the Lord. Parents that are putting effort into teaching and training their children. This is not necessarily a message on child training. I struggle to preach messages like that, to be honest with you, because of the very little experience I've had. But maybe on a little different line. But I also want to say, before we go into the message, that you might say, well, I'm not a parent and I'm not a young child anymore. I may be an older single. Well, God bless you this morning. God has a plan and a purpose, and I trust that there'll be truths here and encouragements. We don't know what God has for you in the future. But the encouragement that you can be and the example that you can be is tremendous. And source of a pillar and yes, an example for younger ones to look up to, and the life of service that could come out is a tremendous tool in God's hands. So God bless each one that finds themselves in that this morning. Turn with me to Psalm 127. Taking my title out of here. First of all, this morning I want to talk to parents. And see what God's word, what direction God's word gives us as parents and how we need to conduct our lives and be there for our children. And then later I want to talk to the children and the young people. When I say children, I mean down to those that sit and listen. I want to look at a passage of scripture with you this morning to see why your parents do what they do and why your parents say what they say. First of all, to the parents, Psalm 127, verse 3 and 4. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Title this morning, Arrows in the Hand of a Mighty Man. What is a mighty man? Well, we think of arrows as somebody that goes out and does some hunting, right? I don't do any of that. I don't do any bow hunting. I don't do any hunting, period. But we think of arrows, and we think of taking them out there. And I hear my boys talk about this, though they've never gone bow hunting either. But you know how young boys like to discuss hunting, and that's okay as long as it's in check. But arrows are there, and it's important to have the right arrows. It's important to have them in the right condition. But a mighty man, as we think of a hunter, as we think of a warrior, maybe a champion, strong, valiant, could be the title of a mighty man or the description of a mighty man. But as we think of arrows in the hand of us as parents this morning, those hunters that go out there and they have the right arrows and they make sure that arrow is pointed at the right direction and they make sure it's the right shape. I don't know what all happens with it, okay? I'm a little ignorant once it comes to that. I can't describe that a whole lot, really. But as we think about that, eventually, in order to be of any good, they need to let go. Right? You need to let go. And as parents this morning, we have arrows in our possession as our responsibility. And the time will come where we're going to have to let go. Is it going to be any good? Is it going to find the mark? Is it going to find the mark? And that's why it grips me as I think about the responsibility that I have as a dad to two teenage boys that are just a few short years of having to let go. And more of you find yourself there. And a lot of you got young children beside you and on your laps. But it's going to be but a few short years. And you're going to have to let go of that arrow. And what is going to be the outcome? You can only set the course. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but you can only set the course. But how do we do that? We need godly parents this morning that are parents of faith. That are parents of faith. We have an example, Acts 27. No, this is not of a parent. This is, a matter of fact, of a single man. But his dedication and the faith that he had in the Almighty God is the faith that we as parents need to have. And the commitment that he had. Acts 27 is the story of the shipwreck, right? Paul, the single man that was out there on the ship. And they were in this terrible storm. But notice his dedication to God in the midst of that storm. And this is the way us as parents need to be, as dads, mothers. We need to have this type of faith and this type of testimony. Acts 27, verse 23. Paul here, he is talking as a soldier, he was in captivity here. He was as a prisoner. That's the word I was looking for. As a prisoner here, he was exhorting these people. But here's what he had. In verse 21, he talks to them. Then in verse 23, he says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul's testimony was, "There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. For I believe God that it shall be." Isn't that speaking of faith? Remember, this was in the midst of a terrible storm with the ship about to be broken apart. But Paul, in the midst of that storm, had this faith. This God spoke to me. He says, "Whose I am and whom I serve." How dedicated are you as parents this morning? Are we wavering sometimes? What kind of example of faith are we leaving for our children? What example of faith? Whose I am and whom I serve? Do our children know that there's that line? Dad's not going to cross the line when it comes to carnality. I'm not talking about a dictator. I'm talking about a godly leader in the home. Do our children know that? What kind of example are we? Romans chapter 4. Talking about parents of faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Here we have the example of Abraham. Abraham was told that he was going to have a son, and he was almost 100 years old. But in verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake only alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The example of Abraham that staggered not at the promise. Now it was kind of a staggering promise, wasn't it? A son at almost 100 years old. Kind of a staggering promise. But he said, look, God promised it. Are we people of faith? Are we people of faith? Are we parents of faith? Are we staggering at God's promise? You know what? It's going to come through to our children. They're going to see that. They're going to realize that. But oh, the beautiful example we can be. And we need parents that truly believe. Let's go to Luke 14. Parents that truly believe. Luke 14 and verse 26 to 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able, be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We need parents that truly believe, that are totally sold out for Christ. Totally sold out for Christ. It's not halfway through and say, now how's this all going to work out? Yeah, we think those things sometimes. I remember as a number of years ago, not sure if my son was born yet or if he was but a little baby. And it just hit me. The responsibility that is coming upon me to raise this child for God. Are we as parents sold out for Christ? Totally. Do our children realize that? You don't have to communicate that verbally to them. They will see it better than you realize. And they will watch you. Okay? They will watch you. But as a child of God, are you a true disciple? Unless you forsake everything that you have and are totally sold out for Christ, God says you cannot be my disciple. So we need parents this morning that are sold out for Christ. We also need parents that believe that the Bible is the truth. That the Bible is the truth, and that is the guide that we go by. And the beautiful direction that it gives us as parents to teach our children. We need parents this morning that have godly character. And you know, character is the attribute or features that make up and distinguish an individual. Yeah, that make up and distinguish an individual. What kind of character do you have? Is it a godly character? Is it known for the faith in God, like we talked about? Ephesians 6 verse 10, be you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are we leading in the way that displays a godly character? Is there trust and confidence that our children can have in us, and our teenagers can have in us? Do they feel comfortable knowing that dad and mom are sold out for Christ and they're willing to follow whatever the cost may be? It gives security for the children. It gives security for them. Are we leading out? You know, parents with godly character are going to lead out in family worship. Yes, they will lead out in family worship. Why? Because they are concerned for the spiritual condition of their family. It's a godly home. And a godly home is where Christ reigns, where Christ has the preeminence. It's going to be where you want to make a difference. You cannot choose salvation for your children. You cannot pass salvation on, but you can pass teaching on and a godly example to them. And you know, us as parents, we wish we could make that decision for our children. But you know, let's realize this morning that we cannot make that decision for our children. But we can make the decision to be a godly example. And one of the ways is in family worship. Oh, I trust that you have that in your home. Bible reading and prayer. Some time ago, a man shared with me the experience he had as a child in a home, and family worship was something to dread. Because dad sat there and kind of read the scriptures and made a few comments and went out for a long prayer, and that was it. There was really not a whole lot of life in it. It could probably still done some good. It could have still probably done some good. The Word of God always does to some extent. But if our zeal and vision for our family is to lead them in worship, let's put some life into it. I'm not talking about entertainment. I'm talking about it, make it practical for their stage, okay? And for a lot of you, you've got different stages of children in your home. But make it practical for each one. But make it as if you really mean what you're saying. It makes a difference for you. And they're going to watch you throughout the day and throughout your life. Life as, does dad really mean what he's saying? But lead out in family worship. Oh, I know our busy lives sometimes struggle for that. To take time for it. But you know, if we as parents have a vision for our children, the arrows in the hand of a mighty man, all those years go by so fast. Make a difference. Make a difference. Take that time. It will be time worth spent. And you know, to really have something to share with your family, you need to have been there yourself before. You need to spend time in God's Word before you share with your family. When I say before, know what the Scripture says. Know how it impacts your life and how it excites you. And let me tell you something. The chances of that exciting your children is high. Because children often get excited about what excites the parents. Is your Christian life exciting? Is it exciting to you? What about willingness to serve? Willingness to serve. That's all part of a godly character. Do you look for opportunities to serve? Do you offer to serve? Or do you always have to be asked? It is a blessing to have people in the congregation that are willing to serve without being asked. Yes, it is a blessing. And that may not always be same with everyone that way. But have a willingness to serve and let the children know that. Let the family know that. The children know that. Simply not giving them direction that, but sometimes we need to give them reminders. But by example is the best way to do it. It's all part of our godly character. And as we think of, we need parents with a vision. We need parents with a vision. You know, it would be foolish for a hunter to go out there with his arrows and not have a vision for what he's going for. It really would be foolish. He's just going to go out and we'll see what happens. Probably wouldn't come back with a buck. Probably not. Chances are slim. Okay? Do we have a vision for the arrows that are in our hand? Do we have a vision? Sometimes it's a struggle to have that vision with the battles of life that we face. I don't know what it is to have 5 or 6 or 10 children in a home. I don't know what all that creates in a home. I don't know. But still, let's stop and think. Do we have a vision for each one of those arrows? Because the time will come where we're going to have to let go. And what is the target? What is the target? Successful businessmen? The best poultry growers in the county? Best loggers? The best school teachers? All those are good occupations. But it goes way beyond that. What is the target? Do we have a vision for our arrow? Let's look at examples in Judges 13 of a parents here that had a vision for their son. And I'm not sure if his son turned out the way they wanted him to turn out or not. But it was Samson's parents. And they asked some very important questions to God that we as parents need to ask as well. What is our vision for the arrows that we have? Judges 13 and verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. He had been there and talked to Manoah's wife, and Manoah wasn't there. And so here Manoah's asking for him to come back again and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Verse 12. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? That should be the heart's cry of every parent. We have children, these precious children, that are arrows in our hand, but for a short time, and eventually we're going to have to let go. And how shall we order these children? Do you pray for your children? Do you intercede for your children? Not only when they get to the age of accountability that they're going to give their hearts to the Lord, but pray for them when they are young, when they are babies, that the time will come when they will. And how shall we order these children? Oh, we can cry out to God for that. Do we have a vision for them? A vision of what is the target? What is the target? Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know, some children do depart to an extent. But this verse still is true. They will not be able to forget the teaching that you have taught them. Be diligent in that teaching. That teaching will not depart from them. I know of a family where their son, his wife had left him. They were divorced. Now the parents were part of a Mennonite church, but the son went astray and his wife up and left him, and they got this divorce. And the father, I heard the father say later that the son was trying to decide whether scripture about not remarrying really meant that for him. Was it okay for him to get remarried if he was divorced? But you know the teaching, why did he stop and contemplate that? Why did he stop and think about that? Because the teaching that he had gotten was not departing from him. It was still there. And I wish he would have decided that it really meant that for him, but he decided it probably didn't. And he went ahead and got remarried anyway. Oh, God have mercy. But you know, the teaching, though it may look like it's, what difference is it going to make, or what difference is it making? It will not depart from him. Let's train up that child in the way he shall go. And how do you want your children to go? You answer that question for yourself. How do you want your children to go? What is your vision for them? Could God speak to us like he did of Abraham again in Genesis 18? The example of Abraham just comes through in a number of different ways. But Abraham was the one That was about 100 years old, right? Till he had a son. But this is what God said of Abraham. And think about it this morning. Could he say this of you? Genesis 18 and verse 19. God is saying, "For I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him." Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. Right? There's a lot of people that command their children and household after them. But now listen. "And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." That's what he was directing his children after. They shall keep the way of the Lord. Are you directing your arrows to keep the way of the Lord? Is that your vision for your family this morning, for your children, for those arrows that the time will come when you're going to have to let go? Oh, parents, do what you can. Do what you can. Direct them in the right way. Point them in the right direction. Also, take time for your children. Take time for your children. Remember, you're setting the course for your children. You are setting the course for your children, whether they're going to choose to be godly or not godly. They're going to make that choice. But you are setting the course for them. Take time for them. There's many a father has been too busy for his children and teenagers, for his children. There's many a preacher that has been too busy for his family as well. And I get reminded of this from time to time. Remember, you are setting your course. Are you taking time for your children? Are you taking time for your young people? Look, they're going to talk to somebody. They're going to find answers to life from somebody. Are they finding it from their dad that has a vision for them? Not everybody has a vision, the proper vision for your young people, for your teenagers. Are you taking the time to listen to them, to hear their heart's cry, to hear them when they have failed, when they have sinned? Are you taking the time for them? Remember, you are setting the course of that arrow. And the other thing that I would like to remind us of this morning is, don't let your arrows go too soon. Don't let your arrows go too soon. What am I meaning by that? What am I meaning by letting them go too soon? There is decisions in life that are very important, and decisions in life that are too important for your young teenagers to make on their own. Okay? And I have seen the effects of this. I have seen how this can work. When arrows are let go too soon, young teenagers are left to make their own decisions about a lot of things of life. Just the everyday things of life. I'm not talking about making all decisions for them and controlling them to where they don't stand on their own. But I've seen when they are let go too soon, that they decide at a young age, young teenage age, what church they're even going to go to. I've seen that done. And they don't want to go to church with mom and dad anymore. They want to go over here. And guess what? It's usually maybe of a less scriptural, less, we Mennonites use the word conservative, okay? Less conservative than where mom and dad go. But at a young teenage year, really? There's important decisions that your arrows are not ready to make yet. I've also seen that even at a young age, I guess I've done it before. I've stepped out on a limb this week before, and I guess I'm just going to do it again this morning. Maybe it's not very traditional what I preach this morning. Maybe it's foreign to you. I don't know. But I do struggle with the fact because of what I've seen. Okay? Allow me to speak my heart this morning. Every 16-year-old in your household need a car? I'm going to get pretty practical here. Do they really need a car? What I have seen happen, and it's okay if they need one, but do they need one? What I've seen happen is when they get their own vehicle, they're not accountable to dad anymore. They probably weren't since they were 13 years old anyway. But now they're telling dad where they're going, possibly, instead of asking dad if they may. Maybe that's a foreign concept to you. I don't know. But what I have seen is parents and young people separate ways. And the children decide what they're going to do, where they're going to go, who their friends are going to be. They're not accountable to dad anymore. Let me tell you something. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, so often we can use this verse and remind the young people of that. This morning, I want to remind the parents of this. Keep the heart with all diligence. You know what? Our teenagers need help with this. We naturally are biased to the wild. We just are. Okay? Your teenagers are too. And left to themselves at a young age of making decisions for themselves, you know, maybe decisions of, you know, your children. Food. What's the big deal about that? Totally left to themselves whether they're going to like something or not. What about the clothes that they wear? The friends that they have? Are they old enough to make decisions on the music they listen to, or is dad able to give direction? You know what? If you have the heart of your child, if you have the heart of your child, you have an influence on these things. You can say, no, that kind of music is not acceptable. And here's why. Here's what the scripture says. Explain it to them. Point them continually back to the scripture. Your teenagers, your children need help with this. So what I'm saying and pleading with you this morning is don't let your arrows go too soon. Don't let them go too soon. Help them keep their heart with all diligence. They hardly know how to do it. And they need dad and mom to help them. But you know what? That starts at a young age when they're sitting on your laps yet. And sitting beside you as they grow older. You know, if you have their heart, and they know mom and dad have a vision for them, they're going to fuss a few times. They're going to challenge it. Sure, they're trying to find their way, but point them back to why and the vision that you have for them. Maybe it's in vehicles. Maybe it's in spending money. I've just seen the effects of how arrows are just let go. And they make these things for themselves. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Here is a challenge for us as parents to think about. Once it comes to relating to our children and those arrows that we need to let go. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 9. As we think of our example to our children, could we tell our children, okay, Philippians 4 verse 9, look at that. "Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." We want that, right, of our children. Okay, children, we want you to, those things that we have taught you and you have and received of us and you have seen in me, do those things. But what does it continue to say? "And the peace of God shall be with you." Is that the kind of example you are to your children? If they would do the things that you have taught them, they would do the things that they have heard from you, if they would do the things that they see you do, would the peace of God be with them? That is a sobering thought as parents. Would the peace of God be with them? You know, again, we can't make decisions for our children. But the time will come when we're going to have to let go, and let us have a vision for when we do let go on where they then can choose And I trust that it's going to happen before. They're going to choose before, but sometimes they don't. But where is it going to be? Where is it going to be? And you know, in the fact of making a decision is something that we have to let go in God's hands. At whatever age that may be. That's something we can't make for them, like I said before. Well, maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't have any young children. I don't have any young children. Maybe your grandpa's this morning. Maybe your young children are gone. Your teenagers are gone. The arrows have you've let go. Maybe you don't have children this morning. But you know, we need you as well. Yes, we need your prayers. We need your prayers. You older grandpas and grandmas here this morning, you pray for these young families. Pray for these parents that are still working with their arrows. They're still in the quiver. They haven't let go yet. Pray for them. Pray for them. Give them advice. Give them advice. Sometimes they need direction. I've had older brothers tap me on the shoulder and give me some point, you know, direction when it comes to my boys. And I appreciate that. Encouragements. Give them encouragements. Give those parents encouragements. And you know, we need each one. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, let us exhort one another daily while it is called today. It's a group effort. And we need you older ones to give us an example, to give us advice and direction. You may say, well, my children, those arrows didn't go where I wanted them to go. You could still be an encouragement and can still pray for your arrows and pray for those that have the young arrows that haven't let go yet. We need each one. We need each one. Now to the children. Okay, to each one is here this morning that can listen up. Maybe a lot of you have your Bibles with you. I want to show you some verses out of Proverbs chapter 23. Okay, for you of those that can, turn to Proverbs 23. And let me tell you something as to why your mom and dads do what they do and why they say what they say. Okay, these verses are written to children. Even if you can't follow along in your Bibles this morning, maybe you can listen to the children and to the young people. Some of these things are not going to make sense to the little children, but I want the young people to listen to. These things apply to you as well. Maybe you say, well, I don't have parents, but those that look after you, whoever is responsible for you this morning, especially the younger ones. Okay, Proverbs 23, starting in verse 15. I'm going to change one word from son to child. So it includes all of the children and young people here this morning. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My child, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. You know, your parents rejoice if you make a wise choice. If you choose to be cheerful, when it's hard to be cheerful, that makes your parents glad. Verse 16, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Young people, can you hear your parents say that to you? Can you hear their cry for them, for you, that your heart would not envy sinners? Because that is destruction. That is nothing but misery. Verse 18. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. There is a reward for being faithful. Verse 19. Hear thou, my child, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My child, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. Children and young people this morning, your parents have a vision for you. Okay? I just encourage your parents to have a vision for you, and I know that they do, and I trust that they do. Okay? So think about it. Your parents, and allow your parents to teach you. Allow your parents to teach you. They're going to do that because they have a vision for you. Even allow your parents to correct you. Now, if you're like me, you don't like correction. Okay? But you know what? I am glad that my parents corrected me. And they did that in various ways. And I'm glad today that they did. And your parents have a reason for correcting you. And young children, sometimes your parents correct you with a spanking, right? That doesn't feel good. It never did for me. I did not like it. But you know what? I'm glad today that my dad did that. Did you ever thank your parents for spanking you? Probably not. Maybe someday you will. I never have either, actually. But I'm glad that they did. And now, why do your parents spank you sometimes? Young people, why do they correct you? It's for the same reason that we spank our little children. It's why they correct young people. Why is it? There's one reason. They love you. Do you believe that? Your parents spank you because they love you? They hurt you because they love you? Yes, that's right. That's exactly why they do it. And I trust your parents tell you that sometimes. Okay? If they didn't love you, they wouldn't spank you. If young people, if your parents and your guardians don't correct you, that means they really don't love you because they don't really care how you turn out. Okay? But they do it because they love you. And that's why correction is given. So allow them to do that. Even allow them to make some decisions for you. You know, did you hear that? I just encouraged them to do that. Okay? To help you make some decisions because they have a vision for you. And they want you to turn out right. They want you to follow God. Yes, so allow them to make some decisions for you. Allow them to help you studying God's Word. And sometimes your parents need help with it too. But allow them to help you study the Word. You know how you can do that? And even teenagers, don't be afraid to ask your parents, an older brother or sister, what does this verse mean? How should I understand? How should I apply this? Ask them. Okay? Allow them to help you study God's Word. You know, your parents are desiring to fulfill their God-given responsibility. And that's why they're doing it. They are desiring to do that. They are concerned about your spiritual destiny. Because the time will come when you reach age of accountability. The time will come when you are going to stand before God. And they want to have the joy of seeing you enter heaven. So whoever you are accountable this morning, whether it's your parents or others, just allow them, because they are, allow them to teach you and to help you and to keep your heart with all diligence. Don't say, I'm going to do it on my own. As independent as you want to be, you're still dependent on them and ultimately to God. We saw that a number of evenings ago. The other thing is that they don't want you to make some of the same mistakes that they made. Your parents make mistakes? Sure, they do. Okay, your parents would admit that. They make some mistakes. But they don't want you to make some of the same ones. Okay? The other thing it says here, in verse 26 of Proverbs that we read, it says, my son, or my child, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, that's even a sobering verse for us as dads. But you know, children this morning, young people this morning, give your parents your heart. Trust in them. And I trust you can. And I don't know your lives. I don't know your parents, for each one of you. Maybe you're saying this morning, well, my parents aren't Christians. Okay? But there's somebody that you can look up to And you can, in a, at least in part, give them their, your heart and trust in them. And whoever they are, you can observe their ways and have confidence that it will bring you out right. Okay, and remember, too, that your parents love you. Like I said, not only in correction, but in saying no. In saying no. That is also a sign of love. If the parents do it right and the right things. Even in saying no means that mom and dad love me. No, I don't want you to buy that car, and here's the reason. That is not because dad is mean. Because dad doesn't want you to have any fun. That's because dad loves you and cares for your eternal destiny. What's going to be good for you. And they desire to see you do what's right and walk with God. Yes, so allow them to teach you. Allow them to instruct you. So for each one of us this morning, do we have a vision? Arrows in the hand of a mighty man. God has given us instruction. He has given us encouragement. It is sometimes and many times an overwhelming responsibility. But you know, we have others that set example for us. And we have God's word, and God is faithful. If we say, look, I don't know how this storm is going to turn out. If you feel like it's a storm or rough waters or in the midst of raising a young family. But have this purpose, parents, this morning, that this God stood by me, that whose I am and whom I serve. Have that riveted in your hearts and your minds, a total faith in Him, and He will see you through. God had promised to take all these people that were in that storm through safely to dry land. The ship was broken, everything else, but the people were saved. And sometimes we get tried by fire, like the scripture calls it. Sometimes by flood, but whatever the trial may be, God is faithful. So to each one of us this morning, as we think of our responsibility, whether it's old or young, let me remind us of the verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless each one with wisdom, with direction, as you guide those arrows. And the arrows, as you listen to direction, of the loving direction of that your parents give you and that God wants of each one of us. Let's kneel for prayer.